This is most certainly true. In the greatest act of selfless mercy, God sent his own son into our world to die for your sins. And we can't stop talking about it. We now present this sermon, recently delivered at Grace, to you.
Jesus is our good shepherd, who knows us and loves us enough to even give his life for us. These words are the basis for today's sermon, the Gospel according to John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
"I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Those are the words of Jesus immediately before the gospel today in John chapter 10. Jesus says that he came to give us life to the full, literally extraordinary and abundant life. Now that sounds good. But what is that? And how do you get it? If you had to dream up life to the full, an extraordinary life, a good life, I would imagine that you would be pretty quick to fill in the blanks. Would it sound something like some version of the American dream? I want to have a successful career with a sustainable income. I want to have a comfortable life with some modern conveniences. After all, who wants to grind coffee beans when you can have a Keurig? I want to have great friends with great memories. I want a long life with laughs and smiles and experiences culminating in a quiet, relaxing retirement, sipping daiquiris by the pool after a semi-competitive morning of pickleball. Yes. Now that's the good life. But how do you get that or any other good life? And whom do you listen to so you can have this or any kind of good life? Well, now there is the challenge. We are simple and silly sheep. And there are a lot of voices out there in the world that want to lead and shepherd you in every which way. X, formerly known as Twitter, has 368 million active users per month. There are 500 million tweets per day. Spotify has over 100 million songs streaming and another 5 million podcasts for you to listen to. Amazon sells 32.8 million books. Netflix has 2.2 million minutes of content, which by some kind of Google math helped me to find out. That's over 4 straight years of watching to complete it all. Sometimes I think these teens are trying to accomplish that feat. So whom do you listen to? What message, what story, what version of the good life is right? Jesus says in this chapter of the Bible, my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, you're here in God's house today. You're listening to his voice today, proclaimed in his word this morning. You know Jesus. You know his voice, right? But might it be that the moniker of simple and silly sheep fits us all too often and all too well? The shepherd's voice is nice and comforting on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, those false shepherds are a little bit too appealing. I mean, the green pastures of heaven, that's nice, that's wonderful, but what about the green dollars I need in my bank account right now? And I'm looking forward to no pain, no tears in eternity, but what about the pain and the tears that I have right now? So what's wrong with a little fun, a little splurging, a little excitement, a little wild weekend here and there to tide me over? Can't be that bad to graze a little bit here and graze a little bit there in the meantime. And yes, I know my cup runneth over, and I'm thankful for all those blessings, but look at the Joneses over there. Look at how that celebrity lives. I mean, come on, that's not fair. Just a little bit more would be nice. I don't need heaven yet, but something more would be great. Yes, we know the shepherd's voice. Yes, we hear the shepherd's voice, but we also can't see the shepherd. And so often it would be nice to have something real, something tangible, something right here, right now in front of me. Then I'd have the good life, life to the full. Or so we think. Our sheepish thinking is part and parcel to having a sinful nature down deep inside of us, and that sinful heart is very eager to dream up any and every version of the good life based on worldly wealth or experience, and that makes our ears all too eager to listen to any kind of shepherd's voice out there that might give us that. That could be your new favorite philosophy or ideology of this age. That could be the most persuasive political pundit or presidential candidate. That could be a flashy TV preacher who preaches only a Jesus that would give you worldly success and happiness. So easy, sheep ears perk up and listen to all these voices, and before you know it, you can find yourself so far off God's path of righteousness that it's like the shepherd's voice is just a faint echo in the distance. Have you found yourself in these moments? So ashamed, so embarrassed, so guilty, so lost. Suddenly the valley of the shadow of death becomes your stark reality because you look around and you're all alone. You're that lost sheep. You thought all those other voices would give you so much. You thought you were on the path to a life to the full, the good life. But it really just left you with an empty and meaningless life. In the verses right before these words of John 10, Jesus warns about some of those voices. Jesus calls some of them thieves and robbers who want to hop over the walls of the sheep pen instead of going through Jesus the gate and want to rip you away. Jesus warns, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. They don't have your good in mind. In the verses of the gospel today, Jesus calls them the hired hand, people who aren't quite the shepherd. Maybe they're helpful to an extent, but they aren't the shepherd. Jesus says the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. You understand this analogy, right? The butter burger flipper at Culver's does not care about the product or the customer or the store to the same extent that the owner of Culver's does. There's simply not the same level of investment, interest, or care. Jesus says in verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The TV preacher, the YouTube influencer, the self-help guru who sells millions of books and wants millions of clicks, where are they when your life falls apart and your bank account is empty? And all those voices who call out to you to follow in the good life, which consists of all kinds of worldly living or wealth or extravagance or experience, where are they when those short-term feelings disappear? When the high is gone, when the hangover is over. All these voices in the world call out, promising everything, offering the world to you, but they give nothing. We listen often and we think that this is the path to the good life, an abundant and extraordinary life, but all it leads us to more is the valley of the shadow of death, filled with shame and darkness and, well, sin and death. Jesus knows his simple, silly sheep, and he knows our sheepish thinking and our sinful natures. Jesus knows how prone we are to stray from his green pastures and his paths of righteousness. He knows how quickly we find ourselves lost in the valley of the shadow of death. And so Jesus knows that we need a different, a better, a real shepherd. And so Jesus declares this to you today, I am the good shepherd. Ooh, our little sheep ears perk up. Good, I like good things. I like shiny things and nice things and pretty things and valuable things. I like good. Oh, silly sheep. Jesus here uses a word in his language that does not mean pretty good or valuable or nice and shiny. He uses a word for good that means good in worth, good in intrinsic value, good because of what that thing or what that person does. So what is it about this shepherd and what he does that is so good? Well, friends, Jesus does not leave you hanging or guessing. Take a look. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Go ahead, scan over these verses in the service folder. Just kind of take a peek. How many times does Jesus use that phrase in these verses? He uses it here, verse 11, verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Twice in verse 18, I lay it down, I lay it down. Five times in eight verses. You think Jesus is trying to emphasize something? The reason why this shepherd is so good is because of what the shepherd does, and that is that he lays down his life for you, the sheep. How different than all the other voices out there in the world of those pseudo shepherds, those hired hands, the voices that call out to you to follow, but then run away and abandon the sheep and leave you lost. Jesus doesn't run away from simple, silly sheep. He runs after them. He leaves the 99 to go find the one. Jesus said that's why he came, to seek and to save the lost, including you. I find it so interesting, I guess even touching, that Jesus says those hired hands abandon the sheep. And the reason why that's so interesting is because the word Jesus uses for abandon is actually, believe it or not, the exact same word for forgiveness in Greek. It's a word that means to cast away, to send off, to throw away. But look at the difference. While all the other hired hands and voices out there want to throw you away and cast you away and run off and abandon you, Jesus wants to throw and cast off your sin. Because all those other shepherds care nothing for the sheep, Jesus says. And actually, all he's been doing is nothing but care for you. But it isn't because you're such a cute and cuddly, nice little sheep. It isn't because you've achieved super sheep status or you've earned special attention from the shepherd. It's not because you're such a good sheep. It's because your shepherd is so good on his own. Look at what the shepherd does. Even compared to worldly shepherds, it's really quite extraordinary. Jesus didn't risk his life for the sheep. Jesus didn't lose his life because a bear snuck up on him, caught him off guard. I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. All on his own, of his own accord and will, the shepherd came to this world to live among all the sheep. And while wandering in this broken wilderness of a sinful world, at any moment, Jesus could have said, okay, that's enough of all this sin and wickedness. I'm out of here. And yet the shepherd continued on paths of righteousness because he knew you could not. And you can think about Maundy Thursday, the night before Jesus died in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said that at any moment, he could have opened his mouth and called down legions of angels to destroy all his enemies. But that's not what he did. Instead, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, just as Isaiah foretold it. This is the marvel of our shepherd, that we all like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah says, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is what makes our shepherd so, so good, that he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Can you believe it? A shepherd so good that he would come to be a sheep. No, to become a lamb that was slain and sacrificed so that you could be a sheep in his pen. And yes, that does in fact include you, because Jesus gives it to you personally. Jesus says this in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as Jesus and his Heavenly Father have a close, personal, intimate, loving relationship, so do you now with your shepherd and your Heavenly Father, because Jesus gives you that sacrifice, that payment, that forgiveness personally. He gave it to you today through the voice of an under-shepherd who announced his forgiveness in the absolution of your sins. He gave it to you today in the proclamation of his word and the preaching of his word right now. He gave it to you when he branded you as his sheep in holy baptism. He gave it to you and gives himself to you in his special meal and supper. Jesus gives all this, even himself, to you as your good shepherd, just so that you could be his sheep. This is exactly what he has in mind when Jesus says this, I have other sheep, not just Israelites, not just Jews. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Can you believe it? Even 2,000 years ago, when Jesus spoke those words, he had you in mind, that he would seek and find you, that he would seek and find Zent from Bangkok, Thailand, to come to America and hear about Jesus and be baptized today. And now here you all are, one flock with one shepherd. Don't you see? Jesus says that he came that you may have life to the full, life in abundance. But the good life has nothing to do with worldly treasures or success or achievement. The good life is all about a life with the good shepherd. It's living in his green pastures where there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's resting with his still water of his word and gospel forgiveness. It's following him in his paths of righteousness, which he's happy to lead you on for his own namesake. It's clinging tightly to your shepherd when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that he has defeated all your foes, including death itself. It's rejoicing that your head has been anointed with the oil of baptismal waters, so that now surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. And so one day, you will dwell in that house of the Lord forever. Now that is the life. That is life to the full. That is the good life. No, that's the best life. A life now and in eternity with the Good Shepherd. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about God's grace or to support this ministry, please visit gracedowntown.org today. This grace is for you.